Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, November the 5th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the leader of Kent County Council hits back at the Chancellor. A campaign's underway to raise money for a Christmas dinner for young care leavers in Kent, and the Gillingham boss returns to training following heart surgery. But first today, a really tragic story to start off the episode, as a mum from Margate has died just 3 months after being diagnosed with cancer. Kate joins me now with more on this story. Kate, what more do we know?
As you say, this is a really sad story. 53-year-old Michelle Bailey from Margate was told in July she had an incurable form of the disease after initially suffering what doctors thought was a stroke. Tests revealed she had 5 tumours across her body, including in her brain and lungs. She passed away last month, surrounded by her loved ones. And what makes this even more incredibly sad is that Michelle's husband, Craig, died just a year ago after suffering heart and kidney failure.
A truly devastating time for their children. Daughter Megan has been speaking to Kent Online.
That's right. Megan's described how the siblings are trying to come to terms with what's happened. She told us how the youngest boys are just 12 and 10 and have been left without their mum and dad. Megan says they're trying to navigate things without their mum, but admits it's been extremely difficult. In fact, she's described Michelle as being the centre of the family and the rock in all their lives.
And Kate, a fundraiser's been set up for the family.
Yes, it's hoped any money raised will be able to pay for Michelle's funeral and support her children. On a GoFundMe page, it says the whole family are so grateful for any donations. And of course, our thoughts are very much with them all.
Absolutely, they are. Thanks ever so much, Kate.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a fourth arrest has been made by police investigating the death of a man in his 40s in Chatham. He was found with stab wounds at a house on Castle Road on Saturday morning. A 51-year-old man was detained earlier in the week. Two other men aged 41 and 40 remain in custody, while a woman's been released on bail. A Kent man who downloaded indecent images of children just days after being released from prison is back behind bars. The pictures were discovered on Ben Champion's mobile phone a week after he'd been freed on licence in September. The 32-year-old, who used to live in Chatham but is now from Folkestone, had been jailed for 2 years, 8 months in 2024 and will now serve the remainder of his sentence. A Sheerness man who attacked a friend with a glass bottle and threatened to stab him has been jailed. A court heard the victim had been drinking with Sean Packer and his girlfriend before violence broke out in March. The 61-year-old from Victoria Street has been sentenced to 27 months behind bars and will be on licence for 2 years when released. Now, the leader of Kent County Council has hit back at the Chancellor after Rachel Reeves criticised the local authority during a speech at Downing Street.
Reform. Who promised savings from our public services. And yet, in Kent County Council and councils they run across Britain, apparently they can't find a single penny and instead going to increase council tax for more than 2 million people.
That's what the Chancellor had to say yesterday ahead of her budget later this month. Well, KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron has been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service. She says the reference was absurd.
I was shocked, to be honest. This is a Chancellor of the Exchequer. She has got a budget to deliver in just a few weeks' time. And instead of focusing on the job in hand, she's trying to deflect from her own shortcomings by talking about what's going on in Kent County Council. I mean, I've never heard anything like it.
How confident are you feeling about this budget? I know, obviously, council finances are tough. You're in the process of also figuring out your own budget for the coming year. How confident are you feeling in the coming weeks ahead of the budget?
Well, I make it no secret that I have absolutely zero confidence in this Labour government. I have zero confidence in Rachel Reeves being able to string together a coherent budget. We are struggling in local authorities. Everybody is saying the same thing. That is not unique to Kent. I think the thing is the Labour government is absolutely terrified. I think they're terrified of Reform UK. I think that is why they referenced Kent County Council, because they can see that under Reform UK, we are turning things around. We are paying off the long-term debt, which, of course, is the key to obtaining any kind of fiscal security for the future and ultimately reducing taxes for taxpayers.
Why do you think that Kent County Council is starting to appear a lot in speeches, interviews from ministers such as the Chancellor? Why do you think KCC is under so much fire at the moment from figures such as Rachel Reeves, as we heard earlier today?
Well, it really is unprecedented, isn't it? I mean, you speak to anyone inside KCC, they have never seen this level of media interest in a previous administration, which is a shame, because if the media had been doing their job properly and had been scrutinising the previous 30 years of Conservative administration here, then we might not have inherited such a financially difficult situation as the one that we have. I think it's slightly absurd. We are a county council. We are being referenced by the Chancellor as if we were in government nationally. I think it just shows the absurdity of the level of politicians and the level of government that we unfortunately have to endure at this moment.
What would you like to see in this Labour budget? What would help you or the residents of Kent? Is there anything that you think would be a slam dunk win that would make your life and the lives of people that you represent easier?
Well, I think if the Chancellor had any way of tackling the really big issues like adult social care, if they were to come up with a policy that helped elderly people plan for their future without losing everything they've ever worked for, having to pay for care home costs, and without the burden of other costs falling on local authorities, I think that would be a step in the right direction. Also, I think the welfare budget needs to be absolutely slashed. It really does. It's running out of control. But Labour have already demonstrated they are simply not capable of taking on their own backbenchers to try and tackle it properly. So I think we're just going to go into the same old socialist mindset of borrow and spend, because they are fundamentally afraid of and unable to tackle the really tough decisions that being in government means that you have to be able to tackle head on if you're to make any kind of progress.
During yesterday's news conference, Rachel Reeves again refused to rule out tax increases. Well, Tudor Price is the chief executive of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. He says it'll be interesting to see exactly where any increases land.
There's two sides to this story, really. From a sort of retail hospitality perspective, if what we suspect is true, which is the Chancellor looking to raise income tax, then of course there's an anxiety that that will put constraints on consumer spend, which of course has a direct impact on retail and hospitality in particular. The other side of the story here, though, is really around the markets and investment propositions, because What we're hearing from the markets, they're very concerned about the amount of debt and interest payments that the UK government is paying. So if the Chancellor can raise income tax, what that will do is start to send a message to the markets that they're serious about reducing the interest debts, and therefore the cost of bonds and gilts, which sort of seems a million miles away from sort of your average person in the street, but these are the sorts of things that free up capital to be invested in big infrastructure projects, which then, of course, has a huge impact on the local economy. So I think there's two sides to this story, and I think this is where the Chancellor's trying to sort of get us ready for both.
Well, the budget itself is on November the 26th, and you can read an explainer of how you could be impacted by what's announced by the government by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
Investigations are underway after £2,000 worth of material earmarked for an animal shelter in Medway was stolen. The equipment was being stored at Carly's Canine Coaching in Cliffwoods, but was discovered missing on October the 29th. They're holding a fundraiser and hope to have the shelter open in the spring. New data's found more than one in 10 children in the first year of primary school in England is obese. Here in Kent, Folkestone and Hythe saw the highest figures with more than 14%, followed by Medway with 13%. Research also shows more than 25% of Year 6 students were obese in Thanet in the last school year, and that boys are more likely to be overweight than girls. It's emerged the woman who used to be head of finance at Kent County Council got a £116,000 payoff. Zena Cook left the authority in June 2024 after going on leave the previous January. She had an important job at the cash-strapped council and had the power to declare them bankrupt if they were unable to meet statutory obligations. KCC has been approached for a comment. Now, the boss of a Kent charity has admitted they got too big too quickly. Gillingham Street Angels announced at the start of this week that it was going to close. They've been supporting hundreds of homeless and vulnerable people since launching in 2018 and have charity shops and run a food bank. Tracy Errington is interim CEO. She's been speaking to Kate.
It's been a really, really hard decision, and it's kind of been made over the last, 11 months, I guess, 10 months. So we, when we started, Gillingham Street Angels started 7 years ago now, I think. And we grew very, very quickly, very quickly, very big, very quickly. And I think that was because it was at a time when there was a lot of money around. COVID, to be fair, there was spare money around. There was a lot of people that kind of weren't able to support the community. And we were in a very privileged position to do that. So I think, to be fair, we had a lot of support. We had a lot of money. The problem is when you've got that kind of resource, you build very, very quickly without putting the foundations in. And I think that's, to be fair, that's kind of what that's the conclusion we've all come to. We got too big too quickly. We just simply cannot sustain that now because obviously money's tight. We're actually supporting a lot more people than we were back then, believe it or not. And it's just become financially, it's just not viable.
It is really sad news. As you say, there are a lot of people that are relying on the services of Gillingham Street Angels. Is it difficult to make the decision when demand for the services are so high?
Yeah, it is. It's really just, like I said, we've this hasn't been taken lightly. This has been many months of, how can we work through this? Can we get through this? We have had support out there. We have had a lot of community support, council support, other organisations. So this has been a really, really difficult position. But I think to carry on the way we are at the moment is just not fair.
And so what happens to those people that have been relying on the service? Is this going to be are you going to gradually stop the services? Is it going to be an immediate thing? Are you working with other organizations to make sure that people still get the support they need? What happens to those people?
While we're making this decision, we have to look at all the people we are supporting, and it there's a lot, and this number is going up. It's not going down. So we've been talking to other charities, other agencies, community leaders. We're continuing with the conversations at the moment. So what we want to do is make sure that that support is still there for our community, for those who need it. Now, how that looks at the moment, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty confident that we can fill that gap that we are going to leave, and it is going to be a big gap. So, but what. We've got the support out there, and I think there's some great agencies in Medway. We will be able to make sure that our core services are covered.
Kent Online reports.
An appeal from developers over plans to build 200 homes near one of Kent's most historic monuments gets underway today. It's after Thanet District Council rejected the proposals for farmland near the Grade 2 listed St Augustine's Cross at Cliff's End near Ramsgate. Campaigners say the site must be protected. Those behind the scheme say it's essential to meet the need for housing. Meantime, the next stage of a 675 home development is Sittingbourne looks set to be given the go-ahead. Developers want to build what's being called Applegate Park on land off Wises Lane in Borden. Plans for roads, a new rugby club and 209 homes have already been approved. A meeting tomorrow night is expected to allow a further 160 properties. The Green Party running Maidstone Council has been criticised for scrapping a fund that had been set aside to pay for research into building a bypass. There have been calls for years to have a relief road connecting the A20 with the A274 in the southeast of the town, so HGVs don't travel through villages like Leeds and Langley. Well, the council leader says 10,000 extra homes would have to be built to fund the bypass. The Conservatives disagree and are urging a rethink. Another bid has been submitted to turn a former care home in Gillingham into a house of multiple occupancy. Two previous applications for Greenford Care Home in Nelson Road have been rejected. The latest proposal would see permission granted for a 16-bed property with four parking spaces. Now, people living on Prince Andrew Road in Broadstairs have told the podcast the name is now embarrassing and they want it changed. It's after Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was stripped of his royal titles over his links to disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing. Well, Christine Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV has been along to the road to speak to people living there.
Constantly we're getting people writing on the road names, which are right outside.
What do you think it could be changed to?
Anything. Just anything else. I don't care. Anything else but that. It just, yeah, I don't like the name.
I've been here for 25 years and I think with everything going on with whatever, yes. But I would be really bothered if it doesn't or not, if that makes sense.
There was another woman saying that the street name has had graffiti on it before. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yes. They do that quite a bit. They do that quite a bit. Even they've done it on the actual sign, the Prince Andrew sign. I've had people take that off and like take that with them.
I'm moving back in. I've been away for a year. So today I've been phoning gas people, electricity, water. And of course they ask your address and I have been a bit embarrassed. So on that basis, yeah, I think it wouldn't be a bad thing to change it.
So what are the rules around this then? Well, Thanet District Council have told us that everyone on the street would need to agree for the name to be changed.
Kent Online News.
Now, a campaign's underway to organise a Christmas dinner for young care leavers in North Kent. Many of those who grow up in foster homes are left with nowhere to go on the big day after they turn 18. An event's already held every year in Folkestone, and now volunteers want to put on a meal in the north of the county to make sure that no one is alone. Lucy's been speaking to Sarah King, who's part of the group organising the event.
The Gold from the Stone Foundation is a wonderful charity that supports Christmas dinners for care leavers up and down the country. Gold from the Stone was started by Lem Sisse, who himself was in care. And in Kent right now, there's only been one Christmas dinner in Kent, which was down in Folkestone. And there's a lot of care leavers in Kent, living in Kent. So a group of volunteers, we kind of got together. I think we started talking about it last January. And we kind of like built it from there and started planning to do our own Christmas dinner for care leavers in North Kent.
What's your kind of connection to the sort of care sector? Are you involved in foster care or anything like that?
Well, initially we did do something called supported accommodation, where we had care leavers actually living with us as part of our family from the age of 18 up to the age of 21. And I'd never really kind of considered care leavers very much until then. And that's why I kind of heard about the Christmas dinners for care leavers, although anybody that lived with us, they joined with our Christmas as they wanted to. We did have one young man who lived with us who on Christmas Day, I think he was 17 when he moved in with us, but on Christmas Day, we didn't actually see him for more than 24 hours. He didn't arrive. He didn't come for breakfast. He didn't join us for dinner. We'd got presents for him, he got presents for us, but he didn't feel able to join in our Christmas. And I think that's, then finding out more about Gold from the Stone and the work that they do kind of makes you think, what can we do to make sure that the care leavers are not on their own at Christmas, because it's the loneliest time of the year. From that, I now work alongside care leavers, I support care leavers in my day job.
So talk to me a little bit about why Christmas can be such a difficult time for people who've left care.
So in the very nature of being in the care of the local authority might mean that the young person could move from one foster placement to another or to different provision. Often moving schools, when somebody comes into care, they could move schools. So they don't build up the same sorts of networks that you or I would build up living in the same location, going to the same school. Again, those family networks often, they break down. And when children, young people turn 18, they still get some support from the local authority. Often people can move back to be with their family, but more often than not, they decide to live more independently. And imagine being 18 and for the first time living independently and spending your first Christmas potentially alone because you haven't built those networks or don't naturally have them. Also, I know that some of the young people that I support, they do talk to us about not really feeling a sense of belonging, even though their family or their friends, their natural networks, they might want to include them at Christmas, but often they feel a little bit on the outside. And so just decline that offer.
A special remembrance event has been taking place in Dover today alongside a train carriage that was used to transport the body of the unknown warrior to London after the First World War. The Caval van has been returned to the town's cruise terminal for the first time since it made that poignant journey in 1920. The Duke of York's Royal Military School are due to perform today. We'll find out later what effigy will be burnt on the bonfire of the famous Guy Fawkes celebrations in Edenbridge. The society there has been poking fun at celebs for 30 years with models of Boris Johnson, Donald Trump and Liz Truss featuring in the past. The 11-metre-tall effigy will be torched following a torch-lit procession through the high street tonight. Do head back to the pages of Kent Online to see who was revealed.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has returned to oversee training this week following heart surgery. He's been absent from the club for a month after having an operation at the start of October. The 52-year-old gave us this update on social media.
Hey everyone, feels good to be back at the training ground while the boys are training. Let's see how the week goes, but so far so good. Up the Gills.
The Gills travel to take on Bristol Rovers in League Two on Saturday. And a student from Sevenoaks has become the youngest ever karting world champion. 12-year-old Max Endicott beat 120 entrants from 35 countries in the X30 Junior Karting World Championships in Valencia. Next year, he's hoping to also be crowned European champion. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.